Our children's moment this morning is really an all-church moment, and so I'm going to need some help from some people. Let's see, so young ones, if you can come forward, we'll try to get set up here. Everyone who's sitting in the pews, you are going to make up our river, because this middle aisle is going to be a river. And so if when we get going, you want to, like, put your hands out and do a little bit of this, you can, okay? All right, so Eliza, you are going to be a catcher, right? So can you go stand by Skip, kind of back there? And does anyone else want to be a catcher? You don't actually have to catch anything. Okay, go ahead, Alex. All right, and then one of you, would you like to be a thrower? You don't actually throw anything. You just pretend. You like pretend to throw a person. No. Okay. I can be the thrower. That means that you guys get to be babies. Okay? So you're going to come floating down the river, and you got to, like, cry because you're a baby floating in a river. All right? So, like, wah, wah. Okay? And you're going to, like, float down the river toward the catchers. Okay? And then once they get you dried off, you're going to come back up here and be another baby. All right? Okay. So, in this land called Injustice, there is a river, which is you all. There you go. And it flows very swiftly. And in this land, babies are thrown into the river. Two people named Alex and Eliza saw these babies, and they decided to help. They had mercy on the babies and took them out of the river before they drowned. So why don't you go on down? Wah, wah, wah. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Okay, so catchers, what do babies need to survive? Air. Okay, so they, like, can't be under the water, clearly. So they need air. What else do they need? Food. Water. Shelter. Clothes, yeah. So I imagine, are the babies, if they're in the water and they come out, are they cold? So they need to be warmed up? Yeah, and they need love? Yeah, okay. So, I mean, you're doing pretty good with one baby. What happens if we send you another one? And another one. And what happens if babies just keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming? Is there, like, so much to do? Yeah. What if you run out of diapers? What if you run out of clothes? What if you just literally don't have enough energy to take care of all these babies who need your help? What happens? Some of them die, right? And some of them don't get the help that they need. So that's pretty overwhelming, huh? Is there anything else we can do? Anybody in the river? Is there anything else we can do? You can ask for help. What's going on up here? Who's throwing the babies in the river? People? Why are they being thrown in the river in the first place? They think it's funny? We don't know. We won't know until we go upstream and try to figure it out, until we ask questions, right? Okay, so you guys can come on down. In our scripture today, which we'll hear in just a minute, there are three words that we get to pay attention to. And last week we talked about mercy. So what's mercy? Ooh, you okay, sweetie? Say it louder. Caring for others. So mercy is like diapers for babies who don't have diapers. It's food for people who don't have food. It's warmth and shelter for people who would otherwise be vulnerable to the elements. Mercy is making sure that babies have what they need in order to survive after they've been thrown in the river. But our second word is justice. What's justice? That's a hard one, right? So justice maybe is asking questions. Like, is it right that babies are being thrown in the river upstream? So what should we do about it? Are we powerless? Probably not. We can work on changing why there are so many babies being thrown in the river, okay? So that's justice. The third word is humble. What's humble? Yeah, not bragging. That's a good one. And humble is hard, right? And I think maybe in this scripture that we're going to hear in a minute, it means that we know we need help sometimes, even when we're trying to help other people. That we aren't perfect. We don't have everything all together. We still need some help. But that doesn't mean that we can't be helping others. So let's pray. Dear God, what do you want from us? Do you want to do the repeat after me prayers? Okay. So, dear God, what do you want from us? And what do you want for us? Mercy, justice, and humility. Help us, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for your help. You guys did great. If we return to our children's moment earlier, our skit helped us to see how justice and mercy are different. Mercy was happening downstream with Eliza and Alex, where babies were being rescued and dried off and freshly diapered and fed and warmed. And those babies definitely needed our help. Without their generous and loving help, they would have died. But justice, perhaps, is what will happen upstream. When Eliza and Alex get overwhelmed or tired of receiving babies that have been thrown in the river without knowing that there was a good reason for it at all. So justice is what happens when they will travel upstream and when they will ask questions about why in this land named Injustice there are babies that are thrown in the river. Justice is what happens when we dare to dream of a world in which no baby is thrown into the river. Justice is what happens when we address the big picture, the systems that allow or demand that babies are thrown in the river. So we can see that justice and mercy ask very different questions. Mercy asks, what do these babies downstream need in order to survive? While justice asks, how do we keep babies out of the river in the first place? In a more real-world example, mercy asks, how do we feed the hungry? And justice asks, how do we alleviate hunger? Two questions, very different. The answers are really different too, and yet, both justice and mercy are in our scripture for today. The word that in our NRSV Bibles is translated as kindness is also translated as mercy. So the scripture could be to seek justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. I took sort of an informal poll on Facebook this week and asked some people where their minds first went when they heard the word justice. And a lot of people thought of this. Which makes sense. It's a symbol of our judicial system, and they're the scales of justice. When somebody does something wrong, our courts try to right that wrong by offering a punishment or a repayment. They also make laws that try to prevent people from doing wrong things. Other people thought of this. These are the people who keep us safe when things go wrong. And it doesn't matter if you're a good person or if you pay your taxes or if you've even committed a crime in the past. If you're in trouble, they show up to help. They keep us safe and they obey the laws that the judicial system sets, and they do their best to do it fairly. Still others thought of this. And not just because the word justice is in the name, the Justice League, but also because these mythical superheroes, they fight the bad guys and they stand up for the underdog and they try to keep the peace. But in the context of our scripture today, I wonder, what is justice? When I thought of the people that the prophet Micah was speaking to and the world that they lived in, I wondered, what would their definition of justice be and what can we learn from that? They didn't have a constitution or a Supreme Court. They didn't have police officers or firefighters, and they definitely didn't have mystical superheroes. In studying the scripture this week, I learned that the Hebrew word for justice in this verse is mishpat. And it has sort of a different nuance to it than the justice that we think of in our minds. Mishpat isn't just about fairness or punishment for evil doings. It's not about consequences for actions. Mishpat is about ensuring everyone has what they need. A mishpat society lifts up the needy and everyone takes part in helping out. Mishpat applies to everybody, Jewish or foreigner, widowed or orphan, rich or poor. Mishpat also recognizes that some people in situations need extra help and assistance. So what could we learn from that? What can we learn from mishpat and imagining what a mishpat justice would look like today? And perhaps here's the question that I want all of you to think about throughout this week. The prophets of the Old Testament went to kings and rulers and judges when they wanted things to change. Who should we go to when we want things to change? Think about that this week. Who are the people in our time that are being overlooked? Who are the people in our time who need us to stand up for mishpat justice? Who are the people in our time who are suffering needlessly? God wants us to ask these questions together and then to work together for justice. And this is not just a gentle suggestion. It is a command, a requirement. It is part of our duty as Christians. Before we close our sermon, I want to paint a picture for you. Last week, we talked about Church World Service blankets, and because you are a generous and loving congregation who loves mercy, we raised over $690 for our Church World Service blanket drive, and we're still collecting today. Many people who receive these blankets are refugees. They are fleeing wars, which are a product of human conflict and global politics. It is merciful to give these refugees blankets. But might it also be our responsibility to ask if there's anything we can do about the war itself? Church World Service does a lot more than just blankets of mercy. And I want to tell you about what they do. They often provide small loans, interest-free loans for people to begin their businesses, which allows them to lift themselves out of poverty. They give tools to families to help them begin to be able to provide for themselves. Nets for fishing, saws and hammers for building, pumps for wells. They also work to change the laws in many lands that keep poor people poor. They help communities welcome refugees who may act and speak and behave differently, but who are just as in need of welcome and safety as the rest of us. They fund and provide education for women and girls to support their families and break cycles of poverty. They help people find counseling and psychological help when their lives have left them injured in their souls. They train local leaders all over the world to organize their communities to work together to develop skills to improve their lives. And that is only the surface level of what Church World Service does. Church World Service is a fabulous example for us to learn from because they are an organization in which justice and mercy come together. Justice and mercy are very different, and yet they are both required of us as Christians. We need them both in order to serve God, and we need them both in order to create a society that looks a little bit more like the kingdom of God. Justice and mercy, very different, both required, and they go together. Justice and mercy are both very hard work. They require time and energy and commitment and love. They require thoughtful consideration and continual self-education to learn and to dig into the issues at hand. There are two ways that we can make mistakes with justice and mercy. The first is that we can get burned out. We work too hard and get overwhelmed by the need and don't take care of our own spiritual needs. We burn with a fiery passion until there is nothing left but ashes. The other mistake we can make is that sometimes, it's true, we Christians get self-righteous. We get frustrated with all the other people who can't see the problems the way we do and who don't have the time or the energy to commit to this effort. We look down on people who haven't learned as much as we. This table is our weekly reminder to avoid both of these mistakes by walking humbly with God. We come to this table because we know that we are not endlessly energetic and passionate. We come to this table to be renewed and refilled and to rest in the presence of God. We come to this table to allow God to be the one to feed us with love and grace. We also come to this table because we need to recognize that we don't have all the answers. We need God's help and we need God's perspective. We come to this table to remember that we are to serve with humility, just like Jesus. We come to this table to take instruction from God and to humble ourselves before the source of all wisdom, love, and goodness. We come to this table to remember why we seek justice and mercy. Because Christ loved us first. And so we remember that it was on the night that he was betrayed that he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and again he blessed it and he poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of a new covenant. My blood poured out for the forgiveness of all sin. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember me until I come again."